This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including but not limited to the following.
A Portland college student disappears on her way to class. The cement used by Halliburton and BP's oil well was substandard. And a homicide turns out to be a Halloween prank.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, shield yourselves for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Friday, October 29th, 2010. A search was underway today for a Portland college student who vanished on her way to school. Lauden Tabey, 25, left her mother's home in southwest Portland around 5 p.m. Monday with plans to board a TriMet bus and go to her night class at Concord College. Her family told police that she regularly attends the class, but that night she never made it to school. Detectives said they're concerned for her welfare and hope that someone may have seen or spoken with her and will call the police. Lauden is described as white, 5'8" tall and weighing around 135 pounds. She has straight shoulder-length dark brown hair, which she may be wearing in a ponytail. She has brown eyes and olive-colored skin. She was last seen wearing a short black leather jacket over a white shirt, blue jeans, and 2 to 3 inch heels.
Here's the thing about olive-colored skin. That's never an accurate depiction of the actual tone with which you're dealing.
No, it's not really olive.
I mean, I guess unless there's some rarefied type of olive with which I have not been made familiar. Because if you think of the average olive that you see at the store or whatever, and again, my taste may not be as cosmopolitan as some, but olives are typically black, or they're just green.
Yes. And olive skin is a slightly darker sort of Caucasian-ish color with a ever so slight green tinge to it.
Is that true? Does it have a green tinge?
Yes. Which is why you're called olive. But yeah.
Are you effing with me, really?
No, you really. I mean, you don't look at somebody and go, hey, they're green, but yes.
Is this like that race of people that lived in Kentucky that have blue skin?
No.
Okay.
People have either like pink, orange, or green undertones to their skin, usually.
All right.
Although then there are people like me that are almost just entirely pasty white.
Just the color of milk.
Yes. Where was I? See, now you got me all off track. And
what with my speechifying and questioning and so forth.
I know.
All right.
Weeks before the Deepwater Horizon oil well exploded in the Gulf of Mexico, officials for both BP and Halliburton knew the cement mixture Halliburton was going to use to seal the well was unstable. According to a presidential commission investigating the oil spill, the cement failed 3 of Halliburton's 4 tests. BP knew about at least one of the tests, but neither company halted work on the well. A federal investigator says the tests show that the flaws with cement were used in the well. Petroleum expert Don Van Nieuwenhuis may not be the actual pronunciation of his name, says BP and Halliburton should have probably been more diligent.
This is BP 1, yes?
When you're having problems with something, you tend to retest because in the scientific method, we always try to make sure we can repeat our experiments and that they actually tell us what we think they're telling us.
Quick, somebody make sure his headstone hasn't been stolen.
One of the tests came just a week before the explosion in late April. The commission's lead investigator does not specifically identify the cement failure as the sole or even primary cause of the blowout, but he makes clear that if the cement had done its job and kept the highly pressured oil and gas out of the wellbore, there would not have been an accident. According to the New York Times, this is the first official finding of responsibility for the blowout, which killed 11 people and is still sickening Gulf Coast residents. Ben Duenhuizen says it wasn't just one thing that caused this disaster.
There was a series of failures of backup systems that that should have helped out. And what I haven't mentioned yet, too, is after all of that failed, the blowout preventers should have worked. And again, they didn't work.
I wonder how it is that they're going to be able to move forward here.
Yes, at this point, we are only hopeful that the regulators will give us some clarity about their expectations, and then we can plan on that basis.
It makes you wonder why they even have the tests. You know what I mean? Like, leaving aside the issue of BP's corruption, that just seems like a waste of time and money. If it's going to fail three of the four tests, and they go, all right then, three of the four tests failed, next, and then they just sort of wave it along, you would think if Halliburton is corrupt, which it seems like they are, and if they are motivated by profit, which seems likely, and if they're willing to do whatever it takes to increase the bottom line, which I think is self-evident, why do they bother to actually have the test, which they then will disregard? That's just foolishness. If I was in the board of directors, I would just say, test schmest. We're just going to approve everything.
Yeah.
F it. We don't care.
Good point, Rick Emerson.
Somebody just brings it. What's this made out of? Cardboard. Go ahead. Fine. Have at it.
It'll probably work. And if it doesn't, so what?
Yeah, what do you, what about...
You're Halliburton.
What about you, Schlepperstein? What is it, what have you got holding in the plutonium at your plant? Positive thoughts? Okay, great. Splendid. Next. You know? Have at it. I don't care. I'm just saying, it's not following their own internal logic. There's just no consistency in this world.
Well, it could be just a case of they do test these things, and often it turns out that the things are perfectly good. In this case, it was like, man, we need an ass load of cement for this oil well. What do you got? Well, we have a whole lot of this. It's not very good, but we have a whole lot of it. Let's just send them that.
So this is like in China, where maybe they don't intentionally want, you know, they don't wake up in the morning thinking about how they can fill, like, babies' rattles with lead.
Right.
It's just they had to come up with something, and they'd already used all the ground-up dissident bone that they had in reserve, and so they had to find something or other.
Exactly.
And so they just found a pile of lead and weevils and just jammed that into children's toys. Okay.
Residents of the Mexican town of Los Ramones are going to have to fend for themselves for a while, or at least rely on the military to handle their policing. Earlier this week, the entire 14-person police force resigned after a gang of suspected cartel members attacked the town's newly inaugurated police station and destroyed six police vehicles, leaving more than 1,000 bullets in their wake. Nobody was hurt, but the terrified officers decided they'd be better off going into a different line of work. They resigned because of the situation, Mayor Santos Salinas Garza told the Financial Times. Until replacements can be found, Mexican soldiers and contract cops are picking up the slack, but with lots of risk and a monthly salary of less than $322, it may be a while before the town has its own security force again.
Okay, but again, Halliburton. I mean, really, there's no problem. There's no job opening. There is no task that Halliburton is apparently not up to. We ought to just start, contracting Halliburton to do, like, everything. You know what I mean? You know, like, we need somebody to answer the phones here. Blackwater. You know, you need somebody to be rolling up your McFlurry, you know, or whatever, you know, McDonald's. Halliburton.
And why not? Just make Dick Cheney richer and richer and richer. And what's the harm in that?
Well, I like to keep Dick Cheney happy because whatever keeps that guy from occupying his time with hunting and shooting people in the face is fine by me. So anything you can do to soothe the savage Cheney, Rick Emerson is in favor of.
Or going into some truly damaging line of work, like maybe becoming a network president.
Exactly.
The midterm elections are next Tuesday, as in the past few days, President Obama has been absent from the campaign trail, but he's been pleading his case on Hispanic and African-American radio.
This is President Herschel Obama.
No.
Horace.
Barack Obama.
You're sure about that?
President Barack Obama.
Well, if you say so.
Obama.
Okay.
Wednesday night, President Barack Obama targeted younger voters with an appearance on Comedy Central's The Daily Show. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says they're pleased with the outreach.
Is this midterms?
Mm-hmm.
When the president gets to talk about what he's done and sift through what people may or may not have heard, that it's a positive benefit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that was. Just like listening to a graham cracker. There was just nothing there. It was just a bunch of soft mush that they spooned into my ears.
That sounds like somebody asked him a question while he was on his coffee break, and he was paying more attention to his donut than to actually answering the question.
Or that thing where, like, you know, like when you're not that you or I ever do this, but when your significant other asks you a question, you know, and it's just it's a whole lot of like, and it's just a mosquito kind of buzzing in your ear because you're not even really aware that they're talking to you. You thought they were still on the phone. And then they say, so what do you think? And you go, oh, God. Well, I think that that's really a shrewd course of action. And I think that really, if you've examined all of the angles, and if you really feel like that's the way that it needs to be addressed, then really it's the answer is self-evident.
And then there's that long pause before they say, I asked what you wanted for dinner.
What kind of pie do you want?
Yeah. Obama may not be out on the campaign trail, but he's still working hard to rally his Democratic base ahead of the elections. Yesterday, he called into the Yolanda Adams morning show.
If you believe in my agenda, then you've got to turn out in this midterm because I've got to have some support from members of Congress to do the things that we need to get done. And we've got a lot more work to do because there's still a lot of folks hurting out there and need help.
Folks are hurting.
I'd like to think that I wondered when I was preparing this soundbite this morning, I was wondering if you were going to pick up on that he does a folks and a hurting. So he drops the G and does the folks back to back right there. I'd like to think I'd live in a country where my president wouldn't be calling a zany morning show on a radio station. But, you know,
is Yolanda Adams that? No, that's Wendy Williams. I was trying to write that woman who has the TV show who looks like a transvestite.
That's Wendy Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A 47-year-old man was sent to the hospital Thursday night after being hit by a train in downtown Salem. Salem police said the man walking the tracks near 12th and State Street just before 8 p.m. when the train hit him. Police said the train's engineer saw the man on the tracks, used the emergency brake, and sounded the air horn prior to hitting him. He was taken to Salem Hospital with life-threatening injuries. Traffic from State Street to Marion Street will be rerouted through, well, it was rerouted through midnight since the train was blocking several intersections. Police said people have been hit by trains in that area in past years, but now the area is more clearly marked after crews worked to make it safer for pedestrians.
All right, seriously, on the Emerson show, I'm going to start instituting like a train watch or something.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be a lot of, I hear the train, I come.
That works.
End. Done. Like a 4-second theme. Here's the thing about the train.
You got to be pretty damn stupid to be hit by a train.
I got two different. I got an observation and I got a question. Which do you want to hear first?
The observation.
Okay, here's the observation. Here's what somebody could do. Somebody ought to just create a thing on the front of a train that just fires a blast of compressed air to just blow the guy out of the way. You know what I mean? Which might injure him to some degree, but not as much as, you know, like a 100-ton piece of metal going 70 miles an hour. Secondly, my question is that cow catchy thing on the front. What does that really do? Since apparently the answer is not keep you from actually hitting a guy full force with the train.
Do actual modern trains really still have those?
Well, they must have had it.
Or are you just thinking of like Thomas the Tank Engine or something?
Well, those things are probably both true. I don't really know the answer to that, actually, because what I typically see are passenger trains, and a passenger train doesn't, like an Amtrak doesn't. Mm. But I think like a cargo train does. I think in recent times, I think I've seen, like, out here, actually, just in the rail yard outside the studios, I think I've actually seen, what are those, not Western Pacific, that's the other thing, but it's, you know, but a train that's all, like, grain or logs or something go by, where it's just got crap in it, and it's just got the little scoop on the front.
Well, the way those things were built, they're built like a wedge, and so the idea was that if there was something on the track, that there was a better odds that it would, like, sort of shove it off to the side.
Maybe.
And the train wouldn't just slam head on into it.
Right, but so maybe, but you'd think that that would actually work. But here's the thing. So now that I've asked this question out loud, maybe the deal is this. Maybe the deal is that its name notwithstanding, it actually is primarily for inanimate objects or you know, cows. Yes. Not like some guy named Phil who just happens to be, you know, ignorant walking along the tracks.
Maybe they could put on the front of, like, the MAX trains and stuff, because we seem to have a real problem with that, with people walking out in front of the MAX trains. Maybe we could just put, like, a bunch of big fluffy pillows on the front of each MAX train.
Or how about just that goblin thing from Maximum Overdrive? You know what I mean? Here comes the MAX.
If they don't actually see or respond to a train, I'm not sure that would really help.
Oh, I'm not really concerned about
it. The train itself should be scary enough.
Oh, no, you've totally misunderstood me. I'm not really concerned about helping them. I'm just for whatever makes my life more amused.
Oh, well, yes.
For filling my life with more grins, Dawn. I have to ask, is your headphone cable caught on something over there?
Is it probably wrapped around my foot or something?
I was just curious. That's just a...
Am I pulling the the thingy?
No, it's just one of those. No, it's just one of those things where, like, did you ever hear somebody? And maybe this isn't a thing that you do, but if I hear somebody who is like misusing their voice, or somebody who is singing above their register, straining their vocal cords, it almost causes me like a sympathy pain. And so it is with headphone cables. If I look over and a cable in the studio is being pulled really taut to the point of like looks like it's snapping, it actually causes me almost physical discomfort. So I had to, and plus I didn't want your headphones to get all yanked out, because then you get that burst of static. Sometimes that can just deafen you.
Thank you for caring.
Emerson is considerate, Don.
You are
listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, October 29th, 2010. Coming up later on today, 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson radio program will broadcast to skillions of people via rickemerson.com. That's at rickemerson.com. A little bit after 1 o'clock today. Still to come inside this hour, entertainment news, science on the march. You can get this program on your mobile device if you would like. Speaking of science, mobile.cascadia.fm. Or via iTunes later on today, or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm, or at LegionOfNews.com. All of these things brought to you in part by Castalia Language Center. I knew I was going to make that mistake one of these days. Castalia Language Center.
Today is that day.
And see, but now I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's been checked off the list. Located in downtown Portland, you can find out more about them at PortlandSpanish.com. That is PortlandSpanish.com. Castalia Language Center offers Spanish language classes for adults. So if you are learning Spanish as a second or a third or whatever language, you're doing it because you either took some Spanish a long time ago and you know a little bit, but you want to know more, or you want to brush up on your Spanish language before you travel, or just because because you want to be able to use it more colloquially and casually, then Castalia is the place to go, because they cater to adults specifically, which means that they're going to teach you in a way that that best matches your adult-sized brain. Because kids and teens just learn in a different fashion than grown folk do. They can also find something that adjusts to your schedule, find the day of the week that's best for you and the time of day that's best for you, and whatever your Spanish acumen level is, they'll have a class that matches that. You can find out more about it at PortlandSpanish.com. PortlandSpanish.com. That is Castalia Language Center. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Sheriff's deputies in Illinois responded to what a caller reported as a homicide, but turned out to be a Halloween prank gone wrong. It happened Wednesday night at a home in rural Glacia, Illinois, according to Sheriff Keith Brown. He says the mom and dad were in the spirit of the season and tried to spook their children by staging a fake murder. Unfortunately, the two kids, between the ages of 6 and 8, thought it was real and ran out of the house to a neighbor's before mom and dad could catch up to them.
Save for therapy now.
The neighbor called 911. The 911 caller identified himself and indicated the neighbor's children had come to the house, Brown said, and told him there'd been a murder their mother had been strangled by Michael Myers. There are Myers who live in this area.
Oh, God.
And obviously we take any 911 call seriously.
Oh, God, how'd you like to be the poor bastard named Michael Myers? Because, A, that sucks just on the face of it. I mean, you've got to have a very elastic sense of humor to not just have that drive you bonkers by the time you're about 25. And then also some kids are running down the street because they think that Michael Myers has killed their parents, and you're just at home, watching a tractor pull or something, and the front door bursts open. God damn, where was this at?
Illinois.
Was it really in Illinois?
It was in Illinois. It was in a rural part of Illinois, but yes, it was in Illinois.
Are you effing with me?
Is that where
Haddonfield is in Illinois?
Oh, is it? Well,
yeah.
There you go. Even better. Yeah, so this is in Illinois.
Okay.
When deputies arrived, they learned the mom was still alive.
Can't even wrap my brain around this.
And all was well.
It's freaking me out, man.
Sheriff Brown says he's thankful it was just a prank. I'd rather deal with an embarrassing situation and a prank that would arrive than deal with what was originally reported, he said.
I feel so high right now. This whole thing is blowing my mind. Okay. Let's just stop and get a... here's the thing. See, now because it's a Michael Myers thing, and it's the kids running down the street, and it's the killing in the Illinois, and the Halloween, and the Mike Myers, and the whatever, all of that is conflating my head. And so now that the sheriff is saying, well, it looks like it's just some kids playing a prank, that's how you know it isn't. That's how you know the blob is real.
Yeah, because the cops never believe the kids.
Never.
When they tell them that there's a strangler, a crazy Michael Myers killer guy chasing them down the street.
Killer clowns, eh? Having a little fun with Mooney, are you?
Sure, he killed your mom.
Yeah, geez.
Now you kids get
Sounds
on
like
home.
Somebody needs a night of the drunk tank, son. Jesus. All right, here's Don Taylor.
A robber is on the run today after holding up the East Street Market in Washougal, Washington, last night. The store clerk says the man came in, looked around, but then left. She thought he might have taken something, so she stepped outside to see where he went. When she opened the door, she ran into the same man, but this time he had a semi-automatic handgun and an orange bandana over his face. He kept telling me, "Hurry up, bitch, and give me the money or I'm going to kill you," and sticking the gun in my face, said store clerk Linda Gilbert. The man forced her at gunpoint to give him money from the cash register. Then he ran from the store and the clerk called police. Officers tried to use a canine to find the robber, but he escaped. Washougal police have surveillance video from a nearby gas station showing a vehicle of interest believed to be the getaway car. They describe it as a red Honda Civic hatchback. Gilbert returned to work the next day, even though she was still a little shaken. "I hope they do catch him," she said. "I hate to have other people go through what I went through. You just never know when they're going to go over the line."
And this is, here's another, like, criminals are stupid and also stupidity makes you a criminal thing, where he shows up later with a mask, but after she's already seen him, like, without the mask.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
There's a guy who's just
He walked
not...
in and looked around and went, "Hey, there's nobody in here. I guess I could rob this place. I will step out and put the bandana over my face so she does not recognize me."
I got three little syllables. Storyboard. You know? Maybe just sit down and just, you know, plan it out. Just one beat at a time, friend. Here's Don Taylor.
A father taking his two small children to use a bathroom in the Santa Cruz, California Police Department got a surprise when they walked in and found a wanted sex offender fully naked bathing in the restroom sink. Police said the father and his children went to use the bathroom in the police department at about 3:25 p.m. Wednesday when the father found the man, later identified as Derek Birch, 53, bathing. The father left to get an officer, who also found Birch fully naked and standing in front of the sink. When the officer asked Birch what he was doing, he responded, "I'm taking a bath." The officer told the man to put his clothes on and later found out that Birch had an outstanding warrant for his arrest for being a sex registrant out of compliance for failing to register with the Santa Cruz Police Department. Police said Birch was not at the department on Wednesday to register as a sex offender.
So he was bathing, which, I mean, I guess everybody, you know, brother got to bathe.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, and it was at the police station as opposed to anywhere else. Why?
They don't say why he was there, but he was in the restroom.
It seems like if you're a sex offender, you probably spend as little time in a police station as possible. That would just be my guess.
You'd think.
Like, it's not a place where you just sort of hang out, because it's not like you're making friends and influencing people there.
Much less naked in their bathroom.
All right. Well, okay.
Yeah. Authorities on three continents are investigating whether suspicious packages shipped from Yemen to Chicago religious sites are part of a terrorist plot. No explosives have been found so far. Officials on Friday were probing whether the packages were sent as part of a dry run for an attack. Yemen is home to the Al-Qaeda branch that tried to bomb a U.S.-bound airliner on Christmas. Intelligence and law enforcement officials discovered suspicious packages in England and Dubai late Thursday night, prompting national security officials to alert President Barack Obama to a potential terrorist threat. The two packages were addressed to Chicago religious sites. Chicago FBI spokesman Ross Rise said one was a synagogue. The package in England, discovered aboard a plane in East Midlands, about 2 hours north of London, contained a toner cartridge with attached wires and powder. It was found during routine screening of cargo, prompting authorities to scour three planes and a truck in the United States on Friday. And according to our local TSA, airline stuff here at Portland International Airport is going on as planned. So
airline stuff. Oh, and they're not delaying anything.
Yeah, there's
or whatever.
No delays or anything being rescheduled here in Portland.
Hey, have they ever done the thing to you where they take you and they put you in the blowy room where they shoot the jets of air at you to see if you got bomb residue on you?
No, I have never been in the blowy room.
I kind of want to do that. I don't know why I have this perverse desire, because it's like they're already wasting my time anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's already some like minimum wage with a gun type who's just, you know, decided to make my day go more slowly. So I mean, why not have, you know, just sort of see the apparatus the first hand. It's like one of those things that that radio stations do, where they put some rube in there with like a bunch of dollar bills blowing around, and you sort of turn and you do a thing and you stand on one foot and then they go and they blow air at you.
Huh? Maybe we should do a thing where we could see if we could set up a thing where you go through all the different security things and to find out what it's like. Like the full body scan and the blowy thing and the anal probe. And then you can like come back and tell us what it was like. Or you can also like make a little video with your iPhone.
By the way, don't think I didn't notice that you put that right in the middle there. Sort of like a Legion of News investigates.
Exactly.
Legion of News on your side. Sort of a thing. All right. I'll do that. Here's the thing. I will agree. We can do that if we flip on it for every aspect of the search. So, you know, there's the pat down, there's the wanding, there's the probing of Uranus, there's the blowy thing. You know, we'll just go through and we'll just, you know, do a coin toss at each stage.
Because I was going to be the one who's going to go get the medical marijuana card and find out what that's about. So that's my investigative report. Your investigative report involves the blowy thing and the anal probe.
Is this what I get for getting to the studio later than you?
Yes.
These decisions have already been made?
Oh, yeah.
It's on the whiteboard. It says, Don, Weed, Rick, probing of the anus.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's why we have a whiteboard, by the way.
You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up today, Jesus, I think this news really is just, it's not just science that's on the march. It's news of all varieties.
I have such a huge stack of news. I have so much more news here in front of me than I can possibly get to, like, all day. Today is a huge news day. Full of many exciting things.
We're just like Lucy stuffing news like chocolate into our mouth. Snuff watch, taser watch, religious nutcase watch, stupid criminal of the week. Also, Mr. Aaron Duran will join us in the studio. Aaron Duran from geekinthecity.com. He will be counting down the top five most frightening video games. That's the top five scariest video games of all time. That'll be coming up later on in the Rick Emerson radio program. This is Don Taylor.
It's time for science news.
Here's your science on the march for Friday, October 29th.
NASA is looking for volunteers to fly to Mars. The downside is that you don't come back. It's actively investigating the possibility of humans colonizing worlds such as the Red Planet. The settlers would be sent supplies from Earth, but would go on the understanding that it would be too costly to bring them home. NASA revealed that it had already received more than $1 million to commence work on the project at its Ames Research Center in California. Center Director Pete Warden, who claimed humans could be living on Mars by 2030, despite the inhospitable conditions, said, "The human space program is now aimed at settling other worlds. 20 years ago, you had to whisper that in dark bars or get fired." Mr. Warden told a conference in San Francisco that he had discussed with Google co-founder Larry Page the potential for one-way trips to Mars. Scientists say much of the cost of the mission is associated with bringing the astronauts home. The price of sending 20 Mars settlers with a one-way ticket would be the equal of bringing 4 astronauts back.
Boy, well, I just sense the heavy hand of corporate interference here. This is somebody from HR who's sitting there and they're going, "All right, well, we're trying to get these guys to go to Mars, and it's just so unbelievably costly, and we can't figure out any way to manage the expense that's going to be incurred by this." And then they bring in like a corporate consultant who says, "All right, now I'm going to throw something out here. Now, this is just, I'm just spitballing, all right? I'm just thinking out loud. So call, what if we did," and then he just walks to the whiteboard.
What if we sent 20 there but didn't bring them back?
Which is the part of the board where it just says return trip, and he just takes the dry erase marker, just all right, now call me nuts, but that's a savings of 50%. And then everybody just sort of looks at each other and they go, "Well, that's fantastic. I think the board will sign off on that, and that should really help with the stock price, too."
And apparently it's actually a savings of even more than 50%. Because like they said, sending 20 settlers one way would be the equal of sending 4 and bringing them back.
So we're just slingshotting guys basically into the surface of Mars.
Yeah, we're just saying, you're going to go there, you're going to live there, you're not coming home.
It's funny you say this, actually, because there was people don't really remember this because the White House kind of went out of their way to then downplay it like forever afterward. But George W. Bush actually said during his first term, he said that the next priority for the Bush administration was going to be sending people to Mars. And for like a day and a half, everybody was like, "That's awesome, we're going to Mars." Until Bill Bryson, who was the author of the book that I've been reading, which I just finished last week, he actually made this point. He said, "This seemed like a perfectly wonderful idea until it was pointed out that it would cost $400 trillion and result in the deaths of all involved." Then it was downplayed. But I think that's where somebody just pulled him at. Like, Bush just said that, I think, without really, like, I think that's a thing where he read the chapter title of, like, some department briefing, but didn't really actually read the fine print where it said, "All will die, also will bankrupt country."
Going to Mars? That sounds fun.
It was like he just sort of read, like, a Reader's Digest condensed version of it, and then somebody had to pull him aside and, you know, sort of buttonhole him about it later.
Well, they're suggesting that new technologies like synthetic biology and alterations to the human genome could help in this mission, since we're looking at 2030 for this. And And yeah.
What do you mean alterations to the human genome? What, are they going to give us gills so we can breathe methane?
Maybe, because the atmosphere is mostly carbon dioxide, so maybe they're going to make it so that you don't need as much oxygen to breathe.
Right.
And that would save on oxygen supplies.
That's just messed up.
But yeah, and then you also say a nuclear-fueled rocket could make the journey in 4 months. So look forward to that.
This whole thing. All right.
A deadly new virus strain has jumped from an infected monkey colony at a U.S. laboratory to a human, according to researchers. Scientists said it was very unusual for this type of virus to move between species and warranted further study. It echoes the opening scenes of the British horror film 28 Days Later, when a deadly pandemic was triggered when activists broke into a lab and were infected by a chimp with the rage virus. Here, a scientist became ill after an outbreak of a new virus strain among a colony of titi monkeys at a primate research center in California. However, experts at the University of California, San Francisco said there was no cause for alarm at present, because there's no evidence the virus has spread any further than this one guy.
And you know, the guy is on camera saying that while in the background you just see some, you know, another person being restrained by four of his lab mates and then being shoved into an incinerator.
Yeah. Even though the virus killed more than a third of the monkey colony, these scientists recovered from the illness.
Fine. Now, the public was in no danger at any time.
Yeah. So don't worry about the monkey virus that moved to the scientist.
Look over there, shiny thing.
A British man has died after poisoning himself with two spoonfuls of caffeine powder that he bought over the internet. Michael E. Bedford, 23, from Mansfield, Central England, was at a party in April when he swallowed caffeine powder that a friend bought online for $5.50. He washed the powder down with an energy drink and around 15 minutes later began sweating and vomiting blood. He later died in the hospital. The court was told that Mr. Bedford ignored the product's recommendation to take no more than 1/16th of a teaspoon and instead took 2 teaspoons of the powder, ingesting a level of caffeine 70 times more than is usually found in an energy drink. Speaking outside the court, Mr. Bedford's aunt, Sue Barton, said, "I think there should be a warning on it saying it could kill."
You know, if only there was some way that the company could actually tell you not to take more than 1/16th, like maybe putting a recommended dosage or something on the side.
Yes.
Okay.
Nottingham coroner Nigel Chapman said, "Caffeine is so freely available on the internet for $5, but it's so lethal if taken in the wrong dose, and here we see the consequence. So many people are upset and distraught by the death of Michael." He also criticized the product, which was not named on the inquest, for recommending such a small dosage, which could be easily ignored. "We would take 1/16th of a teaspoon? It's such a small dosage. The warning is so small on the front of it," he said. "If you're sharing a bag, carrying it around, and you hadn't seen the warning, it could be that anyone at the party could have taken it. It's so dangerous to take something like this."
So let me understand this. So the two groups of people we are worried most about as regard to this story are A, people who can't read things, or who just disregard print if it's like if it's in a point size that they find displeasing, or people who will just ingest things out of a bag that some guy gives you at a party.
Yes.
All right. As long as we understand that we're dealing with society's best and shiniest, Don. Well, it's like that thing you always hear about, one of those nature safety mechanisms where they said if you were able to, God, is it a tablespoon? It's something, it's some relatively small amount of salt. That if you were just, it was like maybe 3 tablespoons or something. It's like, you know, like half a ladle or whatever. They said that if you could just swallow half a tablespoon or, half a ladle of salt all at once, that it would kill you almost instantly. But the thing is, you just can't. Yeah. That's one of those things where you try to put it in your throat and you just kind of go, and it just becomes, and then suddenly you're just very parched. But if you were able to do that, yeah, you'd just be one dead guy.
One of David Letterman's dogs died from sodium poisoning because he ate an entire ham.
Really?
Yeah, this was back when he was living with Meryl Marco when he was still in California. And apparently, the dog's like pulled, it was like Thanksgiving or something like that, and the dog pulled a ham down off the table and ate the whole ham.
Yeah,
and died.
You know, but that was a dog who died doing what he loved. He died as he lived. who can ask for more than to go out that way? All right, is that the end of science?
It is.
There we go, that's the end of science on the march. Here at Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Still to come this hour, we have your entertainment news coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemerson.com, featuring Snuff Watch, Taser Watch, Religious Nutcase Watch, Stupid Criminal of the Week, and Mr. Aaron Duran from Geek in the City. He will be counting down the top 5 scariest video games of all time. Hey, Don, let me ask you something.
Okay.
Did you know that among emergency room personnel, fall is often known as head trauma season?
I didn't know that.
It's because people fall off their homes.
Is that why it's called fall?
That's right, Don. It's because they plummet from the roofs of their houses, and then their bodies become twisted, broken wreckage lying on the sidewalks in front of their residences.
If only there was something that could be done about this.
Yes. CJ's High Climbing is responsible for the head trauma season observation there. Yeah.
Oh.
They, not for
the,
head trauma
trauma
season. No, they passed that along to me. They just said, I think I mentioned that Gary from CJ's High Climbing, he has a sort of fast and loose sense of what to send along in terms of like a business overview. He was the guy who actually talked about, he's like, what do you want? He's like, some guy with a Geo Metro and just like a ladder duct taped the top of his car? I mean, Christ, what's wrong with you? So, yeah, it's great. He has a sort of, there's a laissez-faire approach toward all of the overview documents that he sent me.
You know, I don't usually enjoy ads that are recorded or videotaped by people who actually own the company, but I kind of almost like the idea of doing some kind of a recorded spot with this guy saying, do you really want this guy climbing your house? What's wrong with you?
Or it's just be like one of those Canadian PSAs where you just, you see a guy. So anyway, and then I said, let's do it. The room's already paid for. And then he just, and plus, did I mention that I'm 2 days away from retirement? And then he just falls off the roof right onto the ground into frame with Gary's feet. And then Gary just steps over him and goes on his way and speaks directly to the camera while the guy in the back, I don't know, is descended upon by the local ant colonies.
And screaming, my femur!
I can't feel my legs! That took a dark turn there. Well, you don't want to be that guy, is the point. If for no other reason than, we will just, even in your death throes, you'll find that Don and I will be ridiculing you and all you stand for. CJsHighClimbing.com is the website. You can find out more about CJ's High Climbing Services. CJsHighClimbing.com, or you can call them at 503-228-9278, 503-228-9278. Whether it's Gary or Sean, Bo, Lauren, any of those guys, they will come out to your home, to your business, your place of residence, whatever it is that you've got maintenance jobs that are just messy or difficult, or you feel like it's unpleasant, or just maybe just not that dangerous. Because it's not like they're that French guy that's climbing skyscrapers or whatever. It's just sometimes you just don't you don't really feel like climbing up on the roof. Like if the wind is blowing, it just seems like a thing you'd rather avoid. So if you dread the prospect of doing that, or if you just find yourself being too busy, or it's exhausting, or sometimes you clean off the roof or the gutters, and then it just all ends up on the lawn, and then you basically have just doubled your workload. You got to go clean it off the lawn as well. You talk to the guys at CJ's High Climbing. They will take care of it. CJsHighClimbing.com or 503-228-9278. And, of course, everybody who works at CJsHighClimbing.com, they actually work for the company. They got workman's comp. They're covered by liability, so it's a totally above board and on-the-level organization. It's not a clip joint, as my grandfather would say.
You know what would be awesome if it turned out that all of his employees also doubled as acrobats for Cirque du Soleil?
We should just say that that's true. Except I think that would be called, I think that would be false advertising. It would probably lead to some sort of constraining order from the FTC. So we're not going to do that just now. But perhaps in a future less regulated version of this program, that'll be one of the flat out untruths that we mouth.
In my mind, I will just always pretend like I'll just have this alternate fantasy world in my head.
Where they've got a lot of rouge and they're doing a sort of miming kind of
you need somebody to clean your gutters and like some girl in a sort of a sparkly leotard comes whirling down on like one of those big pink ribbons and then does it while hanging by her feet. Yeah, like that. Meanwhile, there's like creepy French clowns on the front lawn.
CJsHighClimbing.com. Sorry. Here's Don Taylor.
A school board vice president in Arkansas is apologizing for his anti-gay post on Facebook and is resigning his seat.
Oh, God, have you seen this? Did you see this, this interview? This guy's a jackass like nobody's business.
Oh, yes, he is.
He's just, just when you think that you've just reached the bottom rock layer, when you say, well, I've seen the most moronic that humanity has to offer. I mean, I've seen stupidity at its basest. I have seen just ignorance in its most concentrated, pure, and distilled form. There's nothing that can shock me. That's when you, you turn on Anderson Cooper. And Anderson Cooper, of all people, who just lives for stories like this because he likes to get yokels like this on camera, interviews this guy.
Yes, this fellow's post on Facebook said he wanted gay people to commit suicide. He called them queers and fags. Clint McCants admits to Anderson Cooper his words were harsh, but says the whole thing's been blown out of proportion.
When I'm getting, thousands of phone calls, hate mail, people threatening to kill my family, me, having to send my wife and kids out of state for their safety. Mm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
McCancel tells Cooper he plans to resign his seat on the school board.
I don't agree with the language I used. It was out of control, you know, and it does look like I was... that I'm a hate monger, or I'm a horrible person, and that's not me at all.
Does he have a little bit of Kenny Powers going on here in this first cut too?
When I'm getting, thousands of phone calls, hate mail, people threatening to kill my family.
That does sound like a little bit of a, people naming their children after me.
I do like a guy who says something like, I don't agree with the words I used.
That was the bad Clint who posted that. The good Clint wouldn't have said those things.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate when, you say you want gay people to kill themselves and you call them queers and fags. And it turns out, strangely, people take that the wrong way and think that means you're a hate monger.
Well, and when he says, I don't agree with that, I wonder what, I mean,
don't
what does it really mean?
I said.
I mean, is this some sort of a... this is the third time I've referenced Idle Hands this month. I'm just picturing the hand sort of creeping over to the keyboard when he's not looking. You know, like it's his own sentient being and typing that. What do you suppose?
He doesn't really have
any... Did
you
clarify what he was trying to say when he said, you should all kill yourselves? Was it really like you should wash your cars?
Now, I'm just extrapolating here. I don't really know. I'm just imagining. But I'm fairly sure Clint McCants... He really doesn't have any hard feelings against homosexuals. It's just if they would just stop looking so pretty, if they would just stop taunting him and luring him when he spends all that time, in the truck stop bathroom, if they weren't there just looking so handsome with their tight buttocks, then he wouldn't be forced to call them horrible names and say they should kill themselves.
If you would stop leading me into the well of temptation with your soft butter-like skin, this would not have happened.
McCann says he was too emotional.
The words I used were unfortunate, and they're, I should have picked different ones, but it can't be taken back. And all I can do now is
extend
my apologies for my poor speech.
My poor speech. Sometimes there's just no joke to be made. It's like trying to parody Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. The worst punishment this man has is that he has to go through life being him.
Doesn't Clint McCants sound a little bit like Philip McCrevis? It's like a sort of code for something.
Clint McCants sounds like it ought to be like a character that Chuck Norris plays in a movie.
Robert Stack.
Yeah.
Clint McCants, lawman.
Except, no. A Manhattan judge has ruled that a 4-year-old accused of slamming into an elderly woman while tearing down the sidewalk on training wheels can be sued, reports the New York Times. The judge did not issue a verdict on the case, but merely ruled that it may proceed. The incident unfolded in April 2009 when Juliet Brightman crashed into 87-year-old Claire Menach while racing her bike down East 52nd Street. Menach fell, fractured her hip, and died just weeks later. Menach's estate is now suing the children involved and their mothers for negligence. Juliet Brightman's lawyer argued that Juliet's age made her incapable of negligence. The judge begged to differ, noting that infants under the age of 4 are infants, let's just say children under the age of 4 are presumed incapable of negligence, but that Juliet Brightman was over the age of 4 when the incident occurred. He observed there's nothing to indicate that another child of similar age and capacity under the circumstances could not have reasonably appreciated the danger of riding a bicycle into an elderly woman.
I'm just back on Clint McCants for a second.
When I'm getting, thousands of phone calls, hate mail.
Did you ever wonder, like with guys like this, if Anderson Cooper is sitting there kind of idly deciding whether or not just go over and just kiss him? Out of the blue?
See, I was wondering whether you should just stab him in the eye with a pencil.
No, but see, that wouldn't be as satisfying, I wouldn't think. I mean, if you're Anderson Cooper, you get one where you go, if you just thinking,
just lean over and put his hand on his thigh.
Mr. McCants, I just have one more thing to say, which is... And just give him like a full-on tonguing, And I mean, I'm sure Clint McCants is an ugly human being, both physically and attitudinally. Mm-hmm. I mean, do we know what Clint McCants looks like?
I don't. I mean, we can find that out.
Because now I'm just picturing what's his name, Danny McBride, is Kenny Powers. But I would imagine that he's a horrifying and probably greasy man. Just to sort of see what his reaction would be. Like, is it going to be that thing like in the episode of MASH where Hawkeye and Hot Lips are in the cave together, and at first she's resisting the kiss, and then her body slackens, and then she realizes it's what she's wanted all along, and then she melts like so much melty stuff in his arms.
I think this is the only picture I've found, and I think this might be him.
Okay, see, now he's not an unattractive man physically.
He's just a redneck in a hat holding a beer.
But doesn't it seem like maybe Clint McCant is just he's suffering. He has a little bit of internal pressure built up from just denying his own inner longings. And who better to bring those things out than Pretty Newsman Anderson Cooper? By the way, whose office is staffed almost entirely with, like, hot 20-year-old girls. Just FYI.
Really?
I've been to Anderson Cooper's office. And it's like, it's nothing but, like, blonde, hot, size zero college girls. That's it.
Hmm.
It's the weirdest thing. And by the way, right next to Lou Dobbs' office, which is just staffed with bitter old people who hate everyone. That was then. Now it's staffed by no one.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news brought to you by The Cleaning Solution, 971-533-3211. That is 971-533-3211. Watch that. The guy plummeting off your roof left a stain outside. Well, you don't want to try to get that out yourself. You contact The Cleaning Solution at 971-533-3211. They'll come give that a good scrub. 971-533-3211. Or maybe it's the inside of your house. Maybe it's the carpet. Or you get the bathroom, or the hardwood, or the tile, or the marble, or the caulking or the grouting between the marble where it cracks over time, and then it expands and contracts, and then you got to get in there with like a toothpick, and then it's just like, and that's a job that you're either going to do poorly or you're going to do exceptionally. If you do it poorly, then like, what is even the point? If you're doing it exceptionally well, I mean, then probably first of all, you're probably unemployed. Or you were destined to end up on some weird episode of CSI, like a sort of Romana Clay version of yourself. I would say in either event, you're better served by calling a professional. So Michael Beatty, The Cleaning Solution, they will clean anything in your home that your feet might touch. So as we get through fall, into winter, into spring, into summer, every season's got its own kind of muck and flotsam and jetsam that will be tracked in on your feet and get the ground into your carpet or whatever. So you know, just get that taken care of now so it keeps looking good. 971-533-3211, a proud sponsor of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. That is The Cleaning Solution.
Speaking of Kenny Powers, HBO has given the go-ahead for a third season of Eastbound and Down. This comes over a month after the network gave its new series Boardwalk Empire a second season.
Bam!
Both Eastbound and Down and Bored to Death, which follows it, are picked up for their third seasons, according to Variety.
Bored to Death is not a good show.
No, I tried it.
That's a bad program.
I watched the first couple of episodes and just couldn't.
And it's like, I love HBO series typically. I mean, even Arliss that I love. And I love Jason Schwartzman. I love Zach Galifianakis. I mean, those guys are all great.
Ted Danson is really good.
He's good, playing against type and doing it very well.
The show is just really dull.
It's like less than the sum of its part. You know what the thing about that show is? Here's the reason why Bored to Death is not good. Is it's just precious. It's a little too preemptively satisfied with itself, like without cause to be. So it's just a waste of talent, unfortunately. But Boardwalk Empire, which I'm not caught up on that. So I'm only like four episodes in, so I'm like two back.
Oh, you have genius. You have some fine watching ahead of you, Rick Emerson.
It just
keeps getting creepier and weirder and better.
It is so great. And I mean, it's like, I knew it was great from the open, and Seamus told me this. He's like, from the opening credit sequence, you will know that it's awesome. I got more to say about that. Wait till next hour. I will just say, never mind. I'll wait until, because it's going to open a whole thing.
Okay. Well, we will discuss it more than that.
But they greenlit Eastbound and Down for a third season.
Yes.
So wonderful.
However, also, the fifth season of Big Love, which starts in January, will be the show's last.
I have drifted away from that show. I watched the first two seasons of it. And I think there was an inordinate amount of time between seasons 2 and 3, I think it was. So that they did that Sopranos thing where, like, you know, coming in 5 years, the next season of, and I just stopped watching. And now I've moved on to that, my wife, moved on to that sister lover or sister mother show or whatever
I haven't seen that yet.
Where it's like the reality show about polygamous chicks or whatever.
I keep meaning to watch that.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Along with her new album, Speak Now, dropping on Monday, country pop singer Taylor Swift has become officially immortalized with the likes of President Obama, Mahatma Gandhi, and Nelson Mandela.
Wait, don't tell me. Madame Tussauds.
Exactly.
All right.
They have released a wax figure of Swift, which, according to their website, took 4 months to create. The 20-year-old's guitar was customized with Swarovski crystals. Taylor unveiled her likeness wearing a silver dress by Jenny Packham to match the one worn by her wax figure, which she donated to the museum. So that's about it.
I just keep expecting. I really do like Taylor Swift, but it's like she's just an Onion headline waiting to happen where, you know, it's like, Taylor Swift pens angry screed about barista or something. You know, like a 5-part concept record about a guy who backed into her car and slightly dented one of the bumpers.
The porn actress, who was with Charlie Sheen in a New York hotel when he allegedly became emotionally disturbed this week.
Emotionally disturbed. Like it just happened. He vaulted over that line.
Wants his probation on a Colorado assault conviction revoked. Christina Walsh, who made adult films under the name Capri Anderson, was pretty shaken up over the incident, according to her spokesman. Syndicated radio host Carlos Diaz says the woman is obviously looking to make some money off
the
incident.
She's now flying to Aspen to press charges. This is the biggest shakedown in the history of shakedown.
You're done. Yeah. Done talking is
Carlos
what you want.
Carlos Diaz.
No, we've already got one, Danny Bonaducci. Thank you.
Yeah. Actor Randy Quaid says a group of Hollywood bankers, lawyers, and executives is out to ruin him
as
he continues to seek refugee status in Canada.
I hope it's
following
true.
Following his arrest on U.S. warrants.
Wouldn't it be great if it turned out that all of this was true, though, that he was being pursued by just every criminal organization on Earth and there was a massive worldwide conspiracy to screw Randy Quaid? And it's like, and the whole time, and he was proven to be correct about all this, and then, but then it had a happy ending or something, where like he was victorious over the forces of evil.
Well, he made comments Thursday after he attended an immigration hearing in Vancouver to determine if he would be admissible as a refugee in Canada. He and his wife were arrested in Vancouver last week and jailed on outstanding U.S. warrants related to vandalism charges. Randy Quaid and his wife, Evie, appeared at their first immigration hearing last week and requested refugee status based on their belief that they were being persecuted by Hollywood star whackers and that their lives are in danger.
Yeah.
A recreation of Lady Gaga's famous meat dress is being offered for sale by a Manhattan restaurant. The costume, which costs $100,000, is made up of 112 pounds of raw meat that reportedly includes a 32-ounce ribeye steak hat. The outfit was showcased to prospective buyers Wednesday afternoon by a live model at the Old Homestead Steakhouse on 9th Avenue in the Meatpacking District of Manhattan.
Let me ask you this. I mean, I'm not saying that you'll know the answer, but you'll have a better shot at this than I will. How is it that a dress made of things that I could buy down the street, at like Pasta Works for probably $200, costs $110,000?
It doesn't.
Okay.
They just want someone to pay them $100,000, and no one will.
But it's not the actual dress, right? It's just a replica.
No, this is one of those PR stunts that somebody decided, the steakhouse decided. It's like the places that do like the $1,000 desserts with the gold leaf.
Yeah.
It's, and then you release a press release and you tell everyone that you're doing this thing. I mean, as an example to tell you that this is a stunt, Mark Sherry, the co-owner of the steakhouse, in his press release said, "We are meeting a demand for the most sought-after costume of Halloween 2010. You can go trick-or-treating in the raw, literally. My staff thought I was going gaga when I told them they had to create this costume without butchering it."
Okay.
Yeah, so someone needs to just punch this guy in the face.
I was going to say somebody needs to make a dress out of him, but that sounds... That's over the line. All right, here's Don Taylor.
Saw 3D will be packing them in this weekend. Jigsaw returns for the seventh and final installment of the horror franchise in Saw 3D. This audio from the film gives hints as to what to expect.
All of my work has been leading to this.
It's all so clear to me now. It's like I can see the film unfolding in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's apparently...
Well, this is filled with spoilers, Don. I don't know why you didn't give us a heads up.
Apparently what you can expect is music and screaming.
And some things just going thump, 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 thump.
Things going
thump.
Clanky.
All right.
Box office analysts expect Saw 3D to rule Halloween movie screens.
This game has a new design.
That's awesome. I've told you that I have sort of a weird weakness for the Saw films. Because the great thing about the Saw movies is how they're just so unbelievably, like, preposterously, ludicrously over the top. I don't even thought, in terms of, like, the design of the traps and that I think that the Jigsaw guy, I mean, I haven't, like, committed all the details to memory, you understand, but I'm pretty sure the Jigsaw guy actually died like 3 films ago, and not like an adjacent sort of like he's resurrected by supernatural, because there's nothing supernatural in the films. It all takes place in some variation on the real world, but I mean there's nothing like magical about it, and he's been dead for, I think, more than half the series now.
James Rocky, the film critic, wrote on Twitter the other day, he said, I believe the way he put it was, there are books of the Bible that have less backstory than the Saw movies.
Yeah.
My friend Scott Weinberg, by the way, who is one of the editors at fearnet.com, he's been a big fan and a big supporter of Saw throughout the entire franchise. But this new one, he wrote a review, and in this one, he said, how is it? As a guy who supported all six of your previous tirades, he wrote it as a letter, a breakup letter to Saw. As a guy who supported all six of your previous tirades, it frustrates me to say it, but this most recent effort feels like a cheap, hollow afterthought. And not even your guilty pleasures worked on me this time. So mercenary and transparent are your motives. So, that just to warn you, and this is a guy who is a huge horror buff and loves even the crappiest of horror movies, and he was unimpressed by Saw 3D.
It makes me wonder sort of where they failed him. I mean, because you got to figure a Saw, you'll forgive the pun here, but Saw has very few moving parts, right? Well, I mean, it's like what the formula is so basic, it seems like that is a thing that you you know what Saw is? Saw is just like hearing Blitzkrieg bop and then somebody going, I don't know, I need to hear five or six more albums of this before I'm really certain whether it's a thing I like or not.
Well, just an example, in his review, he says, every conversation is rote, every kill scene is predictably vicious, every trap is head-slappingly silly, you over-explain things that fans already know and newcomers don't care about, you linger on the ugly, whereas your earlier kills focused on both the ugly and the suspenseful. You feel more like a vague remake of yourself than a sequel, and that gets old real fast.
And plus, there's no Mark Wahlberg in this, although Carrie Elwes.
I know.
And not recycle footage. And he's gone all puffy, by the way.
Well, that's going to happen.
He's kind of turned into like a Brendan Nicholas kind of a thing.
That
he's
happens.
Just sort of...
That happens with pretty boys sometimes.
Yeah.
They get a little pudding-faced when they get older.
Yeah, he's gone all spongy and unshaven. So I guess he's in this. So, I mean, who am I kidding? I'll see it just because... The thing about a movie like Saw 3D, which is the seventh and allegedly final one, is that I will see it just because I'm a completist, right? Because I can't stand to have seen everything and then not, you know, see the final Saw film. That's just that it is not going to work. So that's, they're going to get money from guys like me just because, you know. Otherwise, it's going to be like an itch that is never, that I haven't quite been able to reach and scratch. Hey, if you're going to be constructing death traps in your home or basement, hey, that's difficult in terms of wiring. You don't want to be tackling that yourself. That's a complex operation right there. So I would recommend, first of all, perhaps... making yourself billions of dollars, and then I would also suggest getting a really good lawyer on top of that. Third on the list would be contacting Squires Electric. SquiresElectric.com is the website, or you can find out more about them at 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. And I just saw a story on the news last night about something we've been referencing. They're saying that as we get into the colder weather, it's just like happens in... Not this year, but last year especially, where everybody turns on either the air conditioner or, in this case, the heater at the same time. And apparently there is just some temperature at which it's like some mean temperature at which point everybody in the city kind of at once goes, ooh, cold. And they walk over and they turn on the furnace. And that's where you just see everything kind of go and start working a little lower because the draw on the power is incredible, which is all well and good. Unless you're in one of those homes that was built like 900 years ago where the wiring was sort of an afterthought, kind of a film converted shoddily into 3D with the wiring sort of stuffed into the house at the last moment. That's fine if you're just going to be operating like, you know, like a hot plate or something. You want to make sure everything works all through the winter and as you get into summer as well. So if you've got a home that is maybe, you know, it was built a few decades ago or 100 years ago, just as you once lived in, you want to make sure that everything there is wired correctly. It's all up to code and it's going to get you through without any problems and that you're not going to be putting too much strain on the electrical system. You contact Squires Electric at 503-252-1609 or you can go online and find out more about them at SquiresElectric.com. Do everybody a favor, and by everybody I mean us. Tell them you heard it right here. And Legion of News at Cascadia.fm. That is SquiresElectric.com at 503-252-1609. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. It is time to bring down the curtain on another exciting installment of Legion of News. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District here in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, and chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemerson.com. So thank you all for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. We will see you again on Monday at 12 p.m. for Legion of News. Have a fantastic afternoon. Won't you please?